Well, I think we're ready to roll now. Yes, we have an amazing Bible, an amazing book. There's an old one. I'm going to say four things. The wonder of the Bible, the value of the Bible, reminding us why we think it's so important to put this book into places where people will read it. Attacks on the Bible. You may know that the Bible has been attacked many times, but it has somehow survived. And using the Bible, and we've already had a testimony from Celia about one way of using the Bible as a sword. So the wonder of the Bible, how to wake up to the wonder of the Bible. It's a miracle. It's an Eastern book which has become the most popular book of the West. It's an ancient book which is the most popular book of modern times. It's a religious book, despite religious and anti-religious opposition. And it was written by the most hated race, Jews, and yet it's become the best loved book in the world. So it's a miracle. Bible is God's word, or God's words, full of God's words, what God says. And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And 2 Peter tells us that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible itself talks about itself being a light, a mirror, a sword, a fire, food, water, an anchor, a rock, a treasure, a seed, and sweetness. Is there any other book that can make all those claims? Amazing. The Bible is alive. Hebrews 4:12. God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. The Bible is about the words of Jesus. The Geneva Bible. Now, why am I interested in the Geneva Bible? Because I went to Geneva and got married to a little treasure who'd been brung up in Geneva. Do you know, the Geneva Bible was an important influence on the translators of the Authorized Version 500 years ago. It was published in Geneva under the leadership of people like John Knox from Scotland, who had to leave the British Isles for persecution, and John Calvin. And it was the first complete Bible, the Geneva Bible was the first complete Bible to have our current chapter and verse divisions. Very helpful, isn't it, that the books are divided up into chapters and verses. It helps us to locate verses, but that was not always so. But apparently the Geneva Bible was the first Bible that had that attached for the whole Bible. The value of the Bible, secondly, see, we're a quarter of the way through already. The value of the Bible. The psalmist said, how I love your law, I meditate on it all day long. So what Celia does is a form of meditation. It's taking the words and applying them and thinking about them and declaring them and possessing them. What's the value of the Bible? Well, the documents are genuine. And I don't want to go into too much detail here, but when you have something that was written a long time ago, there are various tests to know whether it's genuine or not, and whether it actually dates from the time that it was written or claims to be written. And here's the big point, that for our New Testament, for example, we've got almost 6,000 different documents and documents that attest and that agree with each other that this was a book that was written very early after the time when the events happened. And if you compare that with various other historical books, they don't have anything like the same number of copies. And so we've got, I won't go into detail, but as a document and as history, we can be confident that our Bible was written at the time it claims to be written by eyewitnesses, and that we can be thoroughly confident that it's genuine. Just to lighten up a bit, punctuation is very important. Do you know the difference between a comma and a cat? Cat has claws at the end of its paws, and a comma is a pause at the end of a clause. That's just to help you wake up. value of the Bible. History supports the Bible. We've got the manuscripts that are genuine. We've got archaeology that actually supports the events described in the Bible. I've got books of archaeology written a long time ago which say, we know the Bible's mistaken about this and this and this. And then a few decades later, books of archaeology say, the following facts were confirmed by the Bible, by recent discoveries. Archaeology supports it. There's other writers who wrote at the time of the Bible, verifying that Jesus lived and that the Bible was being written, or books in the Bible were being written. So, great value. Jesus, who is our great example, he treasured the Old Testament. That's one of the reasons why we don't dismiss the Old Testament. We don't say, well, Jesus came, so now we just want the New Testament because the Old Testament is out of date. Jesus himself treasured the Old Testament because it spoke about him, spoke about God's purpose, spoke about God's plan, and showed the fulfillment of God's promises in the New Testament. So Jesus treasured the Old Testament. In fact, he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but not the smallest letter or stroke or comma, he didn't actually say comma, shall pass from the Lord till all is accomplished. Yes. And he quoted the Old Testament in detail. And when he was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted the Old Testament, in fact, the book of Deuteronomy. So, now this is something that my wife reminded me. It's a love letter from God to us. And I did warn Christine that I'll get her a chance to say a sentence or two. What do you mean the Bible is a love letter from God?
God is love, and when he speaks to us, he doesn't only give us command, orders, directions, and so he also tells me and tells each of you, I'm sure, how much he cares for you, how precious you are, who you are. And you find these in the Bible. The most obvious is the Song of Songs. But everywhere, even one time I was reading Deuteronomy, the blessings and the curses. Who could think something drier and colder than this? But I could sense an amazing love of God behind all these. I don't know why, but I sense amazing love. So I think it's really a love letter from God to us. And it's the story also of a people discovering God in their daily life. So it's their testimony, and it's left for us to help us to grow and to point to learn about this wonderful God. Anybody else has something to add or to say? How do you find the love of God in the Bible?
The love of God is through Jesus. Without him, we're nothing, really. He died for us to take away our sins. And if you think about all the sins you tend to sin, including me, I just could weep, really, with the people. Every time he's forgiven us, and we're not to do it again.
Amen. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about what he came to do for us. Yes, and he sorted out our sins. He took our sins. He not only took the punishment for the sins, but he took our sins. So he wants us to live in his strength. Yeah, wonderful. All about Jesus. After Jesus came alive again, he was walking on a road to Emmaus, and you remember that he joined two other travellers and asked them what was going on, and then he told them that all the scriptures talk about me. Well, he didn't say me at the time, but he told them that all the scriptures talked about the one who was coming. And yeah, that's true. So, a love letter. Attacks on the Bible. Have you ever been attacked because you read the Bible? Some countries where you will be killed if you have a Bible, like North Korea. There was a man called Voltaire who lived in the late 1600s and 1700s. He predicted that the Bible would be extinct within a century. But within half a century of that prediction, he was dead, and his house was a warehouse of Bibles for the Geneva Bible Society. So, Voltaire, a very clever man, very clever atheist, but he made a bad mistake.
Got his priorities wrong.
Yeah.
Polarities.
Oh, okay.
He was negative, I suppose.
Yes, yes. The volts were going in the wrong direction. With the wrong amplitude. So there's Voltaire. He attacked the Bible. Forbidding the Bible. Roman emperors made every possible effort to destroy every copy of the sacred writings. We know they failed. Number one, because we've recovered loads and loads of them. And number two, because we have our own Bibles today. Roman Catholic Church has burned thousands of copies of the Bible. Why? Because they didn't want people to know for themselves what the Bible said. They wanted to be the ones that told them what the Bible says. We are incredibly privileged to have our own Bibles, and we can have God speaking to us directly through his written word. It's an incredible privilege. Sometimes church leaders abuse their power and they try and disempower members. And that was one of the ways that church leaders tried to disempower their members. Not letting them, only having the Bible in Latin in their services so that you couldn't understand it unless you were really educated. Interesting. Forbidding the Bible. And today, the Bible is forbidden in communist countries, Muslim countries, Hindu countries, and Buddhist countries. And we obviously know about this from the work of Open Doors, who came to us a few weeks ago. Forbidding the Bible. Devaluing the Bible. Some people claim it's full of errors. In fact, I've got books that show how every claim that the Bible has errors in is in fact not fair or not true or not understanding what the Bible is really saying. The recent case too, there's a recent doctor called David Makareth who lost his job because he refused to go along with the current tradition of pronouns. If someone decides they're a different gender, he felt as a Christian doctor he couldn't refer to them by a pronoun that they were not born with. Now, I'm not going into the details of that, but my point is, the case came to court, and the court decided that quoting the Bible was inappropriate in our culture because it was incompatible with human dignity to say that God created male and female. A court in our land decided that that truth in the Bible, that God created male and female, was incompatible with human dignity. So that's a current attack on our Bible and on the truth of our Bible.
When people come into the court, are they asked to swear on it?
Yes, I think.
Do they actually use the Bible at that stage?
Yes, yes. So that's incompatible, isn't it? But that is part of our culture. That's used as a swearing on the Holy Bible is used as a standard of integrity and truth. And yet
so
now we've got a court telling us.
At the end.
Incompatible with human dignity. Yeah. So, devaluing the Bible. Changing the language. Don't know if you know that even the wonderful King James Bible, when that was produced, the authorised version, King James made a number of stipulations that the translators had to hold to. One of which that if ever they used the word ecclesia, which means an assembly of believers with authority, had to use the word church, because that could be controlled by the state. I just throw that in as something for you to think about. But changing the language, Jehovah's Witnesses have their own translation called the New World Translation, where they've changed the language to give the impression that Jesus is not God in human form. Or radical feminists change the language because they're offended by the idea that God is presented as a father, and Jesus is presented as a son. It should be parent. Changing the language, changing the contents. You may know that currently that the Pope Francis and the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, if you haven't heard of that, you should hear about it, are planning to rewrite the Bible to make it more modern and more in keeping with modern values. So the Bible has been attacked for years. Using our Bibles. Oh, actually, talking about history, I forgot another fact. History, here we are. 100 years ago, everyone owned horses, and only the rich owned a car. Today, everyone owns a car, and only the rich own horses. How the stables have turned. Terrible. There may be another one. Using our Bibles. The Bible is a sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6. It's not Philippians chapter 6. Thank you for spotting that. Talking of cutting. How does the man in the moon get a haircut? This is a very topical joke. Eclipse it. Did have a recent eclipse in America. Did you hear about that? The Bible is a sword. Celia gave us a perfect example of using the Bible as a sword. We thrust it, the truth of the Bible, into a situation. And I do the same when I'm in prayer meetings with a prayer group that I'm involved. We declare the Word of God in situations. Also, in our own situation, we can declare the truth of God's Word. God is with me right now. I may be feeling alone or feeling frightened or alarmed, but the truth is God is with me. And he will never forsake me. The Bible is a sword. Here's a parable. There was a family that had a sword. It was in a beautiful scabbard. They never took it out. They put it on display, kept it in a cupboard, locked it up in case anyone stole it. They kept on discussing where it came from and who made it. In fact, one cousin devoted his entire life to studying where it came from and who made it. They often discussed how much it was worth. Once they used it to use the scabbard as a ruler because it had a straight edge. Now the sword is getting very rusty. What's the point of that parable? We may have a Bible that we're not using. I like this little illustration. Does anyone mark their Bible? Put colours in it, because you can buy Bibles with really wide margins, and if you're arty, you can draw your own Googles in. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. See that brokenhearted? He saves. You see that the life ring, those crushed in spirit. So that's someone who's using their Bible. Perhaps only an artist would use it in that way. Shorten a bit. Chris is telling me to wrap up. Yeah, she's right. My question, how are you using your Bible?